The Gabcast, a podcast about Belgab.com. Visit UFOship.com for live streaming and chat.
Damn it, I forgot to get my coffee. I guess it's too late now. Hi, this is the Gabcast. This is a podcast sort of about Belgab.com. And if you'd like to be on the show tonight, the number to call is 623-242-CAST. That is 623-242-2278. Eddie Dean's here. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, everybody.
Jesmunda.
Hey.
Wow, you're loud and powerful tonight. That's got me a little
loud and proud.
It's got me a little juiced up there. Is Redacted here yet?
It doesn't look like so. It. Huh.
Okay. Well, again,
does she have the information for Mumble?
Well, she has the password, but then again, that's all she asked for, so I was under the impression that she has all the other necessary connection info, since she only asked for the password. Did either of you convey the rest of the connection information to her at some point in the past?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I said something that she needed to download Mumble and get the client and install it, and I don't think that I provided password, or not the password, but the IP and all that stuff that you need to get into Mumble. So,
Well, maybe she's under the impression that you just open Mumble and type in a password and you're in. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. This may be week two of Redacted connecting through Skype. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, again, if you want to be on the show, the number to call is 623-242-CAST, 623-242-2278. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, thank God I'll have an alternative to the president's speech tonight. Well, the president doesn't start until 9 o'clock Eastern. And we will have been on the air here for about an hour at that point, which I would say is pretty close to the average length of one of our shows. So fear not, those of you listening, you're going to have plenty of time to check out the president's State of the Union address, where you can just go through the list of things that didn't quite work out, lo, these past 6 years.
I really wasn't even planning on listening to the Gabcast? State of the Union tonight.
State of the Union.
Or the Gabcast. Either one.
Let alone being one of the hosts. He wasn't even going to listen, ladies and gentlemen. That's how much he enjoys this broadcast. Yeah. You know, when you go back and you look at that, and by the way, I'm hearing myself. I think I'm coming out of somebody's headphones. I'm not really sure. Or maybe somebody's speakers. Now, B-Dub is no longer here, so you guys, he can no longer
be. You can't blame him.
Yeah, that ship has long since sailed. And by the way, now that B-Dub's decided he's not going to be on the show anymore, I would like to say I'm very thankful he didn't deny us the privilege of using the intro song that he composed for this show. He allowed us to keep that.
So now that you've reminded him, you may be getting a letter.
Oh boy, I got so many letters. I just don't need more. So please, please. So yeah, the President's State of the Union coming up shortly, and when I think of these sorts of events like the President's State of the Union speech, this is what I hate about politics. When you go through the list of all the promises that have been made over the course of these last 6 years or so. Promises not kept, the closure of Guantanamo, the decrease of the debt, or what it was, one of the other promises, the budget deficit would be cut by half within 2 years, two budgets in, no longer than that it was supposed to happen. Just all these promises that never came to be. And if you point that out, well, Bush had this and he also's got a... Well, okay, calm down, you know. I'm no Bush sycophant. Why is it that you can't honestly observe what it is that powerful people are doing without someone finding that person's counterpart and saying, well, they also got this. Okay, I'm just talking, you know. It's just a conversation. Let's calm down. There's no reason to get too terribly excited.
What president has really lived up to all the promises that they've made, you know, while campaigning for the office?
God, I don't know.
There has to be some sort of a percentage that is probably below half. I mean, I don't know what the percentage would be, but I mean, they always make promises and things, and I'm not sticking up or defending Obama, but
you better not be God. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't know what presidents necessarily have stuck to their campaign promises.
But have you guys never discussed politics with anyone, especially on the internet, before? Because isn't blaming the other guy part and parcel of it all?
Well, yes. I have found, I have found that when discussing politics with people on the internet, usually it ends with a civil shaking of the hands and the other party agreeing that the other one was probably right and both parties learning from one another. That's usually been my observation of arguing politics on the internet. And I know your mileage may vary, as they like to say in internet comments beneath articles, but yeah, that's been my observation. Politics, chatting politics on the internet, I get no sense of futility from that whatsoever. It's just smooth sailing, talking politics online.
It really is. There's no fighting, there's no name calling, none of that.
Yeah. I really am just I'm really so sick and tired of it. I was talking to somebody about this on, or I mentioned it on Belgab earlier. Every 4 years we've got to look at Romney's kisser. That's apparently what we've become as a country. Every 4 years this guy has to inject himself into the public consciousness, the political consciousness in this country, and we have to stare at his stupid face, his stupid privileged face, for a couple of years, every 4 years. And God. I got to thinking, okay, this guy was the nominee in 2012. Has there ever been a situation where a guy becomes the nominee and then the party, and he loses, and then the party allows him to be the nominee again? And someone said Nixon, and my response is, oh, duh. But I think maybe a lot of people, maybe that was sort of a special situation, though, because a lot of people, isn't it pretty much the consensus that he was cheated in 60?
He was cheated
in 60 against Kennedy.
Oh. Yeah, because of the public observation of when they did that debate on TV. I think it was the first presidential debate they ever did on television, and the audience noticed that he was sweating quite a bit on his upper lip or something like that, and they said that he looked weaker. That was kind of the perception of the whole thing. So
he looked like a crook.
And he turned out he kind of was.
Yeah, but, he kind of was. I also, there's the whole mafia assurance of victory in Illinois. That was one of the allegations. But has the political landscape changed that much? Because I can't remember any point in my lifetime where the state of Illinois has been a player when it comes to the tallying of electoral votes. I don't remember that ever being a case. So did things really change that much between 1960 and today in terms of the electoral map? Eddie Dean has a degree in political science. We're just going to go ahead and let him answer my questions that I'm incessantly throwing at him here. Please, Eddie, enlighten us. It's I don't know.
What was the question again?
Well, if you were to call
Illinois,
if you call Skeeter, Daryl, and Daryl, what kind of advice would you be given if you've been sending inappropriate pictures to, let's just say, quote-unquote random people? Let's just leave it at that. I don't want to get too specific. I mean, what kind of advice are they giving people these days on that sort of thing? Anyway, 6232.
Asking me for political commentary is probably not the right move in this situation.
Yeah, I think everybody has a bit of an opinion, and we're getting into that political season. And, you know, you can tell it's starting to get kind of hot and heavy, people chatting politics on the forum. What is this? Is that a bong somebody has? I hear a bong.
I think it's a Jasmine moving around or something. That microphone of his is really sensitive.
I just scratched my head, so.
Jasmine went into the clothing store and told the clerk, I want a jacket that makes me sound like I'm smacking a bong when I move. Is the Australian accent getting any better? I just...
not at all.
My God. There's just something about that accent that I can't quantify. Jasmine, do you guys have... You don't have a president, you just have a prime minister, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And do you have this annual state of the continent? Speech that you have
no,
to listen to?
No, we don't. I mean, you basically see your prime minister or president on the TV every day, so I don't know why he has to sit down in front of the whole country and give a lay of the land. So,
how must that feel? I mean, that's really something Americans can't relate to. We don't really... I mean, a lot of America, I will say Americans who aren't particularly well-educated never really give any consideration to the fact that every foreign country, every country that's foreign to us in this world, knows the name of our leader and sees him or her on television every single day. We don't even know who the Prime Minister of Canada is in this country, and I can drive there. We've got no clue who the Prime Minister or the President of Mexico is. We have no clue. We don't even know that there are other countries. Canada, what? There's dirt above the northern border of the United States? I did not know that. I thought it was just a vast ocean surrounding what I look at on this map. We don't even realize that, you know, other countries have to sit and stare at our leaders' kissers 24/7 on their news channels. But we have no idea who your leaders are. How does that feel?
I think that's the way we like it. Then once the downfall of the USA happens, we'll come in and take over.
I think that's a, you know, I don't like the interventionist approach that the United States has taken to foreign policy over the last, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. But who's going to replace us? That thought scares the shit out of me.
No one.
China? It's got to be China. It's not going to be the Russians. Who else is it going to be? That really scares the shit out of me. I mean... China, the nation responsible for propping up Kim Jong-un. I mean, yeah, let's have those guys lead the world. Yeah, that's an era of brightness and happiness I see ahead of us. Anyway, yeah, I guess that's
it. Who's gonna produce all that great TV content for me once the USA finally falls? I mean, I'm not watching Chinese TV, I'll tell you that.
Well, I think what'll happen is that everyone in this country, the only job you'll be able to get is as a movie or TV producer. And if you don't get one of those jobs, then you're just going to be on the street, you know, shoveling shit or something. I don't know what you'll be doing. If you're not a movie producer or a TV producer, you will be unemployed in the new American future. I really do believe that's the case. That'll be our only exportable product. And even then, it won't be a good one anymore because we won't have good electricity. You know, how are you going to power those cameras? Lighting, those lights use a lot of juice. You got to be able to power it. When we implode and our power grid is no longer usable, how are you going to power those lights? Those are really, they're not LEDs, ladies and gentlemen. Those are really bright, heavy incandescent bulbs they're burning in these studios. So I don't know what we're going to do. It's just, I think we should all just sit back and watch and see. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying to everybody. Anyway, this is our political commentary for the evening. Thank you for joining us. This is the Gabcast. I hope you enjoyed that segment. I hope you feel like you won't need to listen to Rush for about 2.5 more weeks as a result of what you just heard on this show tonight. You've just been so filled with political commentary. You have an understanding, a full understanding of the vast political landscape now, thanks to this show. Anyways.
By the way, Redacted is asking for the Mumble information.
Oh my!
So I think I'm gonna disconnect and then I'll PM that information over to her and hopefully she can call in on Mumble or
don't disconnect. Connect. Just.
Well, how do I get the information without disconnecting on the server?
Okay.
Or maybe I'll just
have her call into Skype. You know, because by the time we get that all figured out, the show's going to be approaching completion, I think, as it is now, actually.
I agree.
Yeah. So, anyway. Okay.
So I'll just have her call on with Skype then.
Yeah. So, Eddie, I don't really see you using the forum a whole lot these days. What gives? I mean, are you you butthurt about something? Or is there?
I'm bored. I'm bored with all you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm too good for everybody now. There's nothing that inspires me on Belgab anymore. I'm sorry to tell you, but I'm just too good for you.
You know what? Curtis has just posted the information in the chat room for Redacted. The IP address is 127.0.0.1, and the port number you want to write this one down as 1, 2, 3, 4. So redacted, if you can just get that information, commit that to a piece of paper for future reference, we won't have these issues. That would be really great. So yeah, redacted, if you can hear me, just go ahead and connect over Skype, because it's pretty clear to me that it's not going to work out otherwise. We should have,
we'd have to go through the whole Mumble setup and testing, because there's always something wrong when somebody new, or when you connect to a new Mumble server. You know, you got to mess with the audio settings, and there's a whole bunch of shit that you've got to mess with.
Well, the problem is that she's just not able. She was busy up until the last minute of the show, and she just couldn't begin to connect and test things out with us. And so you kind of just have to do the show and hope she's going to be able to pull it off. Apparently not. So, yeah. No, seriously. I mean, you don't seem like you post much anymore. What's...
Well, it just... it seems like the board's kind of slow, and...
It is.
You know, it's... There's just not a lot of stuff that is being posted recently that I find a lot that holds my attention, that I find a lot of interest in.
There's so.
Are you posting on other websites? Is that what you're doing?
No,
are you cheating on us?
I haven't. No, I'm not cheating on you, Jazz. I promise.
SF Redbook.
I haven't really looked, but
that would be hilarious if one of the hosts of this show started using that forum because of what they've heard on this show about it.
And started trolling someone there.
Yeah, it seems like a good idea. I'll start using this site.
I've got a really funky vibe from the forum right now. There's just too many people on there that seem like they're only there for the purpose of trolling people. They speak in riddles. You don't get a straight answer about anything from anybody. There's no direct communication. I mean, I'm not saying there's none. Yeah, of course, there are normal people there, but it just seems to me like there are a lot of douchebags who are really loud. And yeah. It's just not the most... There's the bong jacket, see? That is so totally a bong.
It's not.
You know, Jasmund, I thought that you said you had a bit of an anxiety issue when smoking pot.
I'm really
surprised to learn that you've regressed. I'm surprised to see this is the case. But anyway, I just kind of got a negative... Maybe I'm just sick of it, you know, and so it just takes the slightest thing to make me throw my hands up and say, ah, fuck this. Yeah. You know, but... I do get kind of a negative vibe from things around there anymore.
You're right. You can't get a straight answer on anything, really, it seems like. Everybody has their own modus operandi, I guess, if that's the right phrase. You know, some people are there just to have fun. Some people are there to be smart asses. Some people are there to fight. And, you know, so you never really know what you're going to get. Especially with some of the new users that are coming in, you don't know where they're coming from or if they're being... sarcastic or, you know, whatever.
Mm. Do you think the closing down of a thread that shan't be named would fix any of that, or you don't believe that would be the case?
Me?
No, I was talking to MV, but MV. You can answer.
I want to hear what Eddie says.
No, I don't have an opinion about that. I mean, you know, I voted several times no that thread should not be closed. The Falky thread. Just because it's free speech, man.
Well, I just feel like some of the people posting in that thread really are jizzbags, but the thread itself is just the thread. You know, it's just... It's words on a screen, so just deal with it. I don't know, that's kind of... But maybe I'm wrong, I'm not infallible. And so it's entirely possible that, you know... A big mistake was made by bringing that thread back. Hi, Redacted.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, wow. Mama, you're loud. There we go. Okay, I think you're okay now.
Say something else.
Something.
Okay, that's a lot better. Yeah, you know, Redacted, you only asked for the Mumble password, and because of that, I was under the assumption that you had all the other connecting information. Apparently not.
No, I think the list of Mumble servers has effectively pissed me off tonight.
Well, I don't think that ours is in any list. You just have to know it.
Type it in. Yeah. That might be the problem.
It's sort of a hidden enterprise. So, Redacted, we were just sort of talking about the forum and how there seems to be kind of a funk about the place. There's a sort of just a negative energy about it.
I heard that, and I have to agree. And you know, I haven't been posting as much lately either because there is sort of a stink developing. And I heard what you said about people just seem to want to either be smart asses. You can't get a straight answer. You don't really know why some of the newer members are even here. Yeah, I'm picking up on that too. And I don't even really know what to make of it. It's annoying.
I'm just
very annoying.
I'll tell you what I'm sick of. I'm sick and tired of people that complain about the forum and how they don't like the entire premise behind the forum and complain about this show. I guess I'm specifically addressing Bardell, which is kind of why I banned him, is because, okay, every seventh post is something about how we don't know what the fuck we're doing hosting this show. So eventually, I'm going to notice that and say something about it. But because I have at one point in the past said, oh, hey, you know what? Some people take things on this forum a little too seriously. That means I'm not supposed to notice anything. I'm not supposed to comment on anything when every third post, practically, not literally, but you get my point,
yeah,
is something about some passive-aggressive little quip about how, oh, they're just beating a dead horse, talking about this, that, or the other thing too much, coming from someone whose entire reason for being on the forum is to troll this old fat man in California. You're going to talk to me about what dead horse we're beating? I mean, it's just I don't understand that. And then when called on it, he, of course, rolls out the old standby, which is, oh, well, this website just generally sucks, too, because, you know, you're beating the George Norrie sucks dead horse. My God, if I could, I would be so rich if I could be given, like, not money, but potatoes, a pound of potatoes every time somebody, I just want potatoes every time somebody said that. Just like when somebody gets butthurt, suddenly the whole premise behind the website is also a pile of shit.
Is also at fault for said butthurt.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're going to launch salvos at me, don't pretend that I'm not going to see them and don't expect that I'm not going to respond to them, because I am human and I have good days and bad days. Sometimes I wake up. The worst thing I do, here's a mistake I make sometimes. I should not read the forum immediately after I wake up from bed because when I do wake up, generally, I shouldn't be interacting with anybody, nobody, my family. I should just be sort of sheltered from sunlight. No fans or moving air. Just
no interaction for a certain time period. No, I have to go through that too. It's unhealthy.
Yeah. For me to look at the forum immediately after waking up is a mistake, because I probably react far more, let's say, energetically to certain things than I would otherwise. Go ahead, Eddie.
I'm not a morning person either. And it's easy to piss me off early in the morning, especially right after I wake up. I've been like that my whole life. So it sounds like you're that way as well.
Yeah.
Not a morning person.
I guess I just feel like, look, if you don't like, you obviously don't like anyone who's a regular user around the forum. You obviously don't like the forum itself. You don't like this show. You're a fucking buzzkill. And you know what I hate about that is Bardell has made me laugh a lot of times. I mean, that guy has posted some shit that's frankly made me lose my mud, as Phil Hendry used to say. So that kind of annoys me about it. It's like, this guy would be so cool if he just weren't such a dick about things all the time. You know, you don't, not everything is about showing everyone how cool you are or trying to be hip or trying to,
or how big your dick is.
I mean, if you're on the internet talking about how big your penis is, then you have a corn nut. You do not have a penis. I think that just the fact that anyone's on the internet, I don't think Jasmunda or Eddie Dean have penises because they're on the internet. See, I could be totally wrong about that. But just the fact that they have an internet connection, I assume they don't have penises. Gentlemen, I don't know.
I would agree.
I'm smooth like Barbie's boyfriend. What's his name? Ken?
It's just a pubis. There's nothing else here.
Yeah. I
think Bart L. is the most sarcastic person on the entire internet. I think I dub him that, the most sarcastic ever. So Yeah, he does have a way of getting under your skin, but I don't know. I didn't think that his comments were anything unusual or over the top. Comments. So
just sum total. You know, it's like I heard Adam Carolla say the other day, when people get divorced, it's not often because, you know, he said 2% of the time it's because your wife is sleeping with your brother. The rest of the time it's an accumulation of things. You know, this thing annoys you about that person, that this thing annoys that person about you. There's this, that, and the other thing, all of these things, and you just put them all together, and eventually you're like, fuck this, man.
Yeah.
You know, why?
I wonder how many times one of his posts has been reported. I mean, I'm sure he's probably one of the most reported persons on BellGab.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I gotta say, too, that BellGab tends to attract some pretty cynical personalities. I mean, don't you think? I mean, we kind of have a good mixed bag of some pretty harsh cynics out there.
I would agree with that.
Wonder why.
Yeah, just ask Scott Bell.
This is the only forum I've ever used, so I don't know really what typically a forum consists of in terms of the dynamic of, you know, people interacting with one another. I mean, is what about you guys? I mean, I know Jazzmundo, you've got extra forum experience. I don't know about you, Eddie Dean, or you, Redacted, but I've never used any other forum, so I don't really know what typically goes on.
I haven't. Most forums
I've used have been not heavily moderated, but moderated more than BellGab is. So those type of characters sort of get weeded out over time. And I'm not saying that what you're doing at BellGab isn't right, but I mean, you still get, it's an anonymous forum, so people think when they're anonymous, they think they can do and say, you know, stuff that they wouldn't necessarily say when they're face to face. So you're always going to get those type of characters on the internet, but there are a lot of forums are moderated to the point where those guys get weeded out very quickly.
Well, BellGab is a wild west of the internet.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Seriously.
Is there a delay again?
No. I'm just fucking with you. Are you gonna call me up and scream at me after the show on the brink of crying like Evelyn used to? Please don't, Eddie. Oh my God.
No, I'm gonna do that now.
You know, she really did that one time. Do you remember the show where she read the definition of the word nigger from the Urban Dictionary, and then we got into the Asian penis stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. There was this one moment in that show where I pretended that I couldn't hear Evelyn for maybe like 5 seconds max. It wasn't anything too terribly crazy. 24 hours later, she and I are talking, and she just fucking unloaded on me. I mean, just, it was like 30 or 40 years of pent up anger and disappointment or something just came pouring out onto me because I did that. So, Eddie, please, I don't need that. Okay, by the way, speaking of which, I think Evelyn and I are going to do like a train wreck radio reunion type show sometimes. I don't know exactly when, but that should be a lot of fun. So keep your eyes peeled for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Me and Evelyn. It's going to be like old times. I'm just going to go back and relive.
So was that train show, was that before? That was your first podcast, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, then Curtis sort of slithered his way into things, you know, just always injecting himself. Curtis always got to be a part of everything. So he sort of worms his way into things, and we start doing the spec sheet together. And then this show came along. So I've hosted multiple unsuccessful podcasts. Thank you. It's been great. I've been on multiple podcasts that no one listens to. Thank you.
And people are pissed off about. Good job, MV. Good job.
I haven't even read the.
Are you saying I shouldn't have mortgaged my house to buy this microphone on the hopes that this podcast would take off?
Oh no, that was a good decision.
I think what you should do is mortgage your home and use the proceeds to pay all of us a salary so that we can just do this show 8 hours per day. Just now sit here and do plan. This show. You know,
I like it. Yeah.
I think ultimately that is going to become profitable. Jasmunda, thoughts?
It sounds like a very sound financial plan.
I don't sense a lot of enthusiasm. I think I could possibly even detect a little sarcasm there. As a co-host of this show, I'm not sure about that. Natalie says, I don't know what she's about to say, but it's really long, so I'm just going to read it. To go back in time, one of the funniest things I've ever heard MVD say to Evelyn was something about everybody running around banging each other in the butts after some political decision or something. And this reminds me of crap we are about to hear on the State of the Union in a few minutes. I just thought it was so damn funny. I missed them lots. I have no recollection of that whatsoever. And it's really not that funny reading it in print. Maybe having heard it, maybe it was. But reading that, I'm like, man, I said that? That really, I wish I hadn't. had I known, had to have been there. Had I known what it would be like at this moment, 4 years later, to read that comment from Natalie, I wouldn't have said that. In the words of Don Imus, I'm sorry I said that. I'm trying to do Anthony Cumia's impression of Don Imus. I'm doing an impression of an impression of a guy. I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I did that. After the nappy-headed hose thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you want to be on the show, again, the number to call is 623-242-CAST. That is 623-242-CAST. My wife and daughter are out of the country. They have been for a week. I'm just sort of, I don't know really what to do with myself. You know, I've always enjoyed solitude, but the thing is, when you've been married for a long time and suddenly you have solitude, you don't really know what to do with it. You think you just can't wait to have it, and it's going to be great when it gets there. And in some ways, it really is. I'm not going to sit here and ask anybody to roll out the violins, but, you know, I'll just put it this way. I'm not sleeping well. I mean, we just moved to a new place, and one thing I didn't realize prior to moving was that this house is much creakier than the old one. And so when you're alone at night and you're just reading Belgab on your phone in bed and suddenly you hear in the next room, I don't know. Images go through your mind. Thoughts come to you. Basically,
you're saying it's haunted.
I really do believe, I do know that, well, I suspect it. I mean, there is some noise going on in this place like you would not believe. And I don't know if it's just, there is a three-ring circus in my living room every night at about 3 a.m. And it is not the cats. These cats have been, unfortunately, a part of our lives for about, 6 years now, so I know what they do at night. I know what they sound like. And this is, you may as well have a guy out there with cymbals and another guy with a horn. It's every night, and I have no idea. And what really sucks is, and this has happened twice. My wife has gone out of the country like 2 days after we moved. So there's no time to acclimate really to the new place together. So, yeah, I think I'm in a haunted house, guys.
So, I mean, what kind of sounds are you hearing? I mean, obviously,
yeah,
you're not
what
hearing
exactly
like
do
a
they,
brass
what
section
they,
of a...
I'm hearing what sounds like things hitting walls and things being moved. Like, it's not...
Like furniture?
Like they're unpacking your stuff for you?
Objects. I don't know. It's not natural sounds, and it's not the sounds that the cats would make. It's like... Well, I've got some dirty dishes in the sink. Yes, again, my wife is out of the country. And last night I'm laying in bed and I just suddenly hear some plates inside the sink go clink. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, it's possible that maybe they just sort of shifted. Am I going nuts? I guess that's the question I'm really trying to get to the root of.
Actually, I have to add to this, okay, because I'm living in a relatively, it's not new anymore, but... It's still kind of new to me. But anyways, the master bedroom is where I had my whole home office set up. And I'm telling you, there are noises that at night that sound like something is running across the ceiling. And I've been told repeatedly there's nothing up there. I had to move out of that room. The sound isn't in any other part of this place. It's only in that room and it's only at night. I don't know what it is. It might be haunted. I might be crazy. Who knows? Who cares?
Are you on the pipe?
No. Hmm. Put down the pipe long time ago. So,
no. You know,
I have no idea what it is, but, you know, it happens every night. Your case is very different. Now, those are some more involved noises. The ghosts are doing your dishes. They're scaring your cats. They're unpacking your stuff. Put out some mics. Record for a night. See what you get. I mean, it's weird. Or go out there. Go into the room. When you hear your boxes being opened or whatever it is, go out into that room and you know, confront them.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to look.
You got to put on your big boy pants and go see.
No, I don't have any big boy pants.
You do? I know you do.
You know what it is? It's either cockroaches or rats.
Well, I am a rather unsanitary person, so... And we've been there for a full 2 days, so I do think the rats and roaches should be there by now. I don't know, man. I'm just... I don't enjoy going to bed at night. And the irony of it is, I'm thinking to myself, man, when Nabila goes down to the country, I'm going to be able to just... and have the whole bed and like... turn this way and throw that leg over there. Yes! Here's an arm! I'm going to put it... You know... And now it's like I'm still huddled over into my little section of the bed with this imaginary border there that I'm just afraid to touch. Just like a pussy. What a pussy.
Stop being a pussy. You're living every married man's dream, and you're making me very sad, MV.
Are you revealing on this show, Jasmunda, that you hate your family and wish you didn't have? That's really deep stuff that I never expected on this show. Tell more, please.
Wow, I didn't think Jas had it in him.
Well, I mean, it's not... it is nice to watch a movie uninterrupted. It is nice to come and go as you please. My alcohol intake, I will admit, has increased ever so slightly. And boy, it doesn't take, 'cause I don't drink very often, but when I do, holy Jesus, it's, bad things happen. Let's just say,
we know.
Yeah.
We know. we heard that broadcast on New Year's Eve.
Oh.
We know.
Yeah.
We know bad things happen.
Yeah. What did you guys think of my rendition of Philadelphia Freedom?
I have to say I was impressed.
Were you?
I did not expect to be impressed by that.
Really? Were you really?
You could feel the effort you were putting into that, and you were wasted, and it was sincere.
Yeah, the effort was there. The
I don't know. I sense a little bit of insincerity. Let's okay, let's see if I can...
Do we really have to relive this?
Oh, we will, yeah.
Please take your cats out of the room. Okay.
I'm going to choose 8.
Yeah, it's his turn.
Tell me what you think, like, honestly.
I used to be a rolling stone. Oh, if the cause was right, I'd leave.
What a faggot.
To find an answer on the road.
I think that gentleman summed it up.
That was me.
For someone, the times have changed. The less I say, the more my work gets done.
So good so far. Yeah. So far, so good.
Oh my God, there's something wrong with my mouth.
This Philadelphia freedom.
Okay, rating 1 to 10.
Well,
can we
go into the negatives?
Oh my, really?
Can we go into negatives?
That's a little...
Know what you sound? You know those people? Have you ever watched American Idol or one of those shows?
Mm-hmm.
And you know when they have the auditions at the beginning, and you have one of those people who really can't sing, but they don't realize that they can't sing, and then they go.
I'm feeling
then they
very
go off at the judges.
I'm feeling very vulnerable right now, but continue.
You're a little bit better than them.
Mm, Oh, man, that, I have to say I just shriveled a little bit. Eddie Dean, what do you think?
Your heart was there, but your pitch was not. I'm sorry.
Really? Oh, my, come on. I mean,
you're not singing from your diaphragm, sir.
Redacted.
Sorry, I had to mute because I was laughing so hard. But keep in mind how hammered he was. I mean, I never even got a number on how many Russians this guy had had. And he's getting up there to sing this
or
very
white
hard
Russians.
Song. White Russians. How many? How many? What was the number? 10, 12?
I'm not sure. That's they were tall.
See? Put yourself in that place, and how many people could even stand up to sing a song from beginning to end that hammered?
You know, I got to say, I think Redacted's analysis goes a little deeper than either of you and could possibly be seen with a greater degree of credibility. I don't know. That's just... That's, audience, you're welcome to submit your ideas. I don't know. It's just...
I mean, that's the thing, that part of what makes a good artist. How fucked up can you be and still perform?
Okay, just one more. I love you, shine the light. Hey. Through the eyes of the ones left behind. Shine the light, shine the light. Wow. I can't believe that's me.
It was unbelievable.
I think I've found a solution to your ghost problem. Perhaps just play that as you go to sleep.
Little Chris says I sound like Kermit the Frog when I sing. That's interesting.
Yeah, it sounded like you were putting on like a voice or something, like you were hamming it up or something. Didn't sound like a.
Right there, I am. Okay, you know, I can't do any more of that. We also harmonized that night to Sounds
what
of Silence.
Was that? Yes, yeah, yes.
Yeah. That's
Simon and Garfunkel.
Hey, you know, of the two, I'm more of a Garfunkel fan, I have to say. Even though he didn't write anything and nobody cares about him, I'm more of a Garfunkel fan, and that's just because he got out of that limousine smoking pot 3 or 4 years ago. That's why. I saw Simon and Garfunkel in St. Louis maybe like 6 or 7 years ago. It was just, I don't know. I just thought it was so amazing. I couldn't believe I was staring at them. They're just one of these acts that, like, you think that you shouldn't be able to be sitting there seeing them. That's how it seemed to me. Like, I don't know. They're just one of those seminal musical things from that era that it seems like you should not. I 30-year-old me at the time, in a year that starts with the number 2, should not be able to be sitting there watching these two guys perform in front of me. It was probably one of the better shows I've seen. Although, I've seen a lot of concerts in St. Louis, and there's not really anywhere up there that I can recall having enjoyed myself as far as the venue. Dude, I got the venue I wanted for my dance quintet, for my cycle. And I thought it'd be nice if you could come and give me notes. Anyway, every venue I go to see a concert in St. Louis is just acoustically horrible. They do a lot of them at, I don't think it's called the Kiel Center anymore, but it's where the Blues play, St. Louis Blues. And, I mean, there's not a soft surface in this place. So when I saw, the biggest disappointment I remember seeing in that place was the Page and Plant concert and 98. I mean, it's just a big muddy mess of sound. You can't appreciate it. There's no subtlety to anything. Just a big echo chamber. Although, you know, I don't know if I should. I used to be a huge pot smoker. I don't know if I'm telling anyone anything they don't know. I'm just putting that out there. And
I'm completely shocked right now. I can't believe you would admit to that on the air.
I used to have a little pot from time to time, just to calm my nerves. Just from time
to
time.
Really?
And I can remember we were at the hotel room preparing to go to the Page Plant show. This was in 1998. and we were going to roll a joint before we went to the concert, and we didn't have any papers to roll it with. And so I got the idea that we could use a page out of the Bible, the Gideon's Bible. And but I thought that it would be well, I thought it would be less sacrilegious if we were to use like the page before the table of contents page. You know, it's just
there's always a couple of blank ones, right? The beginning and the back.
Yeah, I think it's a buffer. I guess it's a buffer. The Bible had lots of buffers. And so, yeah, we use that anyway. Imagine the length of a typical Gideon Bible in a hotel room and then using that in order to roll up an illicit drug, which you are then planning to consume in a private venue. A venue. I got the venue. And this thing literally was probably 7 to 9 inches long. And when you're at a Page and Plant concert and the thing that you're smoking is causing people like 4 rows below you to turn around and look at you, I don't know. Maybe that's maybe you should have rethought that. That's just what I'm thinking. I mean,
no, that's a win right there. You have won at that point.
I can't believe this. I can't imagine doing that now. Like just going to an indoor concert in a public place like that, a hockey arena, and just lighting up and using illegal drugs in front of, I can't imagine doing that now. It's just unbelievable the shit you do when you're 18 years old. I mean, that I can't, what the fuck?
I got multiple people high when I saw that at the Shoreline. I saw the same tour, Page and Plant, in 98. I was up on the grass, though, and I got tons of people loaded. I made so much money because people figured out that I had weed, and I just ended up, no, you cannot smoke my joint, but here's some. I'll take some money. Thank you.
Oh, wow. So you were a drug dealer, in other words.
Just that one time.
You weren't just an, You weren't just an innocent casual drug user. You were the person that the DEA wants to nail. You were the enemy, public enemy. That was you. Drug dealer.
Yeah, I just wanted to keep my joint.
I see why you're using the name redacted. That makes sense.
Yeah, they're looking for me completely. Yeah. I brought down, you know, all of the Shoreline Amphitheater by distributing, what, 3-4 joints that night? It was a good show. What can I say? It was an awesome concert, was it not? Well, I don't know, because your venue sucked, but...
Yeah, it was a horrible venue, and I just remember some old man, he looked to be about 83, 85, literally, that's not an exaggeration, working the aisles, and he just kept staring at us and wouldn't come out and come up and tell us to extinguish this thing. I just, God, I can't believe we did that. That was so stupid.
Nobody said anything.
Nobody did a thing
at all.
No one would. No,
not a thing. I don't think that would be the case today. I think if you did that today, you would be promptly arrested and taken away for terroristic threatening or some horse shit. There would be some. I mean, you're not going to walk away from that today. I do not think.
Well, you can't even smoke a cigarette in those venues anymore.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Let alone a joint.
Right. That was sort of the camouflage you had in those days was, hey, you know, they'll
everyone
just think
else
I'm,
was smoking.
Yeah, they'll just think I'm burning a fag here. They won't have any clue that I'm actually enjoying a spliff. They've got no clue what's happening. And now it's like, he's burning something, get him. We don't care what it is. You know, if it's tobacco, it's just as arrestable as if it's PCP-laced marijuana. You know, it's... times have changed. You know, you expect that things are supposed to get more liberal and open and just do what you want more and more as time progresses. But that really hasn't happened. Things feel so locked down to me now compared to the way they were, as I recall, back in the 90s. I'm really happy to have been a teenager in the 90s. It was a really fun time. Everybody had money.
You used to be able to smoke on airplanes.
Isn't that just unimaginable?
Oh, yeah. I remember walking into the mall here and just lighting up a cigarette and smoking a Marlboro while I'm walking through the mall, and nobody cared. I cannot. If I did that now, I mean, people would be fainting. They would be having heart attacks.
That's a bizarro universe.
I would be so arrested. Yeah.
People would get pissed at you. What are you trying to kill me? You know, they get all defensive and pissed.
I just walk around with an e-cig and I'm feeling all guilty and, oh, are people looking at me thinking bad things about me?
Oh, yeah. I had somebody ask me if my e-cigarette was a crack pipe. Well, like, well, this like is a really expensive crack pipe. What is wrong with you? Yeah, I'm going to walk around to the grocery store with a crack pipe. Are you out of your mind? Well, and why is that okay in your mind to go up to people and ask them if they're smoking a crack pipe? So what if I am, sir?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, it's going in a wrong direction. We should chill out enough to be able to smoke something and relax. And, you know, nobody's going to have a heart attack today if someone's having a cigarette walking by on the sidewalk.
No, but it's what happens 30 years from now, redacted. See, you got to think into the future. You're very short-sighted.
I guess I am.
Eddie Dean?
Wonder what the laws are in the two states where it's actually legal to smoke marijuana. I'm sure they say something about you're not able to smoke it in public, right?
You probably couldn't smoke on the street.
I don't know about that. I've heard otherwise.
In Colorado, I hear that what's going on is landlords are starting to say, yes, you can move in here, but you can't smoke anything. You can't smoke marijuana. You can't smoke cigarettes. No smoking, period. And that's a lot similar to the way it is here in California as well. They don't care what you're smoking. Don't do it in their building, whatever. And I don't know what it's like up in Washington.
Well, they can't tell you not to step out on the porch and get high, though, then.
Some of them are going that far, and people are starting to speak up. I am personally been slapped on the wrist because I was told when I moved in here it was totally fine. Smoke is not a problem. And then, oh, no, we can smell your cigarettes, so you're going to have to do something. So, yeah, now I'm...
You smoke cigarettes?
Patio. Yes, I'm trying to quit.
Wow,
but,
what a dirty pig. Continue.
I know. Horrible, right? So, yeah, so I have to go out on the patio, and I get the hairy eyeball from people walking by. I'm upstairs, and people walking by down on the sidewalk below sometimes will actually do this. You know, I'm sure you've seen this before. People go...
Oh, I will drop kick you in the nutsack if you do that to me.
Oh, my God. I want to go Bill Hicks on people so bad when they do that. Can you hack your shit somewhere else? I am trying to smoke, okay?
Shit, it's a good thing you don't smoke. You go to 4 packs a day. I don't cough like that.
Fucking Bill Hicks.
I know. He's great. But yeah, so I don't get the sensitivity, because if you're outside and you're on the road and you're driving, how much car exhaust are you inhaling and taking into your system? And you're going to have a problem with a cigarette that's, what, 10 feet above your head? Come on.
Some of those people really do look at you as if you've just injected their child with the plague.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that literally is the look they will give you.
Oh, I've seen moms kind of pull their children in, you know, because I'm 4 or 5 feet away with a smoke, you know. Oh,
yeah, that
God,
sounds
yeah.
like it's a scientifically valid method of shielding somebody from smoke. Let me just pull you closer to me. Everything's clean here.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah,
come right into my
clean.
Bosom. There's yeah, no mom. Dirty air in my breasts.
Although I used to hate at restaurants with other people smoking, especially indoors.
I don't care for much for that either. Even when I was a smoker, I don't want to be around people smoking while I'm eating. I don't even want to be in a room around people smoking when I'm not eating. I don't want to smell cigarettes. Even when I was a smoker, I didn't want to smell other people's cigarette smoke. Once I'm done smoking, I'd like that to be the end of the smoke. You know, I had my smoke. That's over with now. It's time to inhale breathable air, please, if I could.
In my 20s, I lived in this one-bedroom apartment for, I don't know, maybe 6 years. And I bought a house and moved out. And when I went back to clean the place up, you could see where I had pictures on the wall, and you could see the outline of the yellow stains. It was just, I mean, dark or just kind of a light tint yellow from the tar. Man. And it just stunk in there. And I,
You smoke inside your house, really redacted? Disgusting.
I used to, but I don't anymore. It's strictly e-cigarette indoors. And then
oh, this is the same place you were talking about earlier then?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I find that people who smoke regularly in their homes, it's just a disgusting mess. Like, I'll have people bring computers in here, and within 2 seconds of getting within 5 feet of their computer, I know, okay, this person smokes in their house.
Because you'll open like it up. Ashtray.
Yeah, it stinks like an ashtray, and then you open it up and take a look inside there, and it's not normal dust. It's like this really cakey sort
sticky.
Of... Yeah. There's a disgusting moisture to it. It just looks like... It looks like roach food or something.
You look at the fan blades, the leading edge of the fan blades, and any of that, it's just caked with all that crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the main reason why I quit that, and, you know, I didn't want to piss anybody off and their sensitive sensibilities with tobacco. So, yeah, it's not because for my health or because I want my house to smell good or anything. Mostly, I just want to save the computers and not have people bitch at me. That's all.
I don't really care about necessarily drowning in my own mucus in a bed somewhere. It's just my computers. I got to keep them working, man. I got to keep these things going. There are
Pretty
games
much.
To be played.
Pretty much.
There are angry emails to type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone might be wrong on the internet. I better be there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's 8 o'clock, at least Central Time, it's 8 o'clock, and the President's State of the Union is coming up. You guys, I don't know, is there anything else on your mind? We didn't get any calls. We got one call, but they didn't hang on long enough to get on the air. I don't know who that was. But
I suspect that could have been the Bart L. himself.
I don't know. Did he say he tried to call?
Mm-hmm, he did.
Huh. I don't know.
I tried to get that guy call in when Falky was on a couple times.
But, well, that's the irony of things. When Falky was on, he didn't even appear to be listening to the show live, I don't think. And he didn't call during the show. And he was missing from the forum for like 2 days after Falky was on. It's like, this is your reason for existing. Are you doing this so that you'll have street cred when you come in to tell the rest of us what a dead horse we're beating? I don't understand. What? I thought he was going to be, like, at the front of the line, you know?
Oh, me too. I thought we were going to have a knockdown drag out, some good entertainment, but he didn't call.
Oh, here's a call. Let's see who this is. Oops. Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. I screwed up. Oh, my God. Let's see if
Skype sucks so bad.
Okay, Redacted, are you there?
I am.
Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, now we have another caller. I'm going to try and add that person to this group. Okay, the caller that I just brought on, you're going to be caller number two. The other caller, the one who said yes, you're going to be caller number one. So caller number one, who is this?
Why did you ban me again? Why did you ruin my life? You keep on burning me and ruining my life. I did nothing wrong. I told you I'd give you one of my kidneys.
What's going on right now?
For life. You banned me. I can't take my wife is wondering why I'm crying all the time.
What is going on?
Okay, caller number two, who is this?
This is B-Dub.
Oh, hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
B-Dub.
Hey.
Why didn't you just call in on Skype like a normal person? What are you calling the, like, real phone number for?
Well, I don't know.
You just didn't want to impose?
Didn't want to impose. Didn't want to, like, screw up the paradigm of the show.
Mm. So what's going on, man?
Yeah, so what the hell was that I was just listening to?
I don't know who that is. I think it was White Crow, but I'm not sure. Are you still there, White Crow? Our person I think is White Crow?
I'm still here.
Yeah. So what's up?
You banned me.
Yeah.
You banned me from Bill Gale.
Yeah.
I tried to do everything right. I wanted to help you out. You were complaining you needed a moderator. I tried to help.
You got too close to the sun.
Is this the guy who worked at Area 51 and the government's chasing him?
I knew I'd heard that voice before.
Weren't you in a Tool song?
Go ahead, make fun again.
Yeah. I think it's a very serious matter, and I'm going to have this looked into.
Wow.
So anyway, yeah. B-Dub, what's going on, man?
Oh, not much, man. I just, thought I'd call and let you know that I talked to the law offices of Skeeter, Daryl, and Daryl.
Oh,
and Skeeter advised me that I have no recourse. And my music which is actually a collection of samples or whatever that came with GarageBand, has now moved on to the collective Belgab property ownership. So enjoy.
See, I thought of it more as Muzak than music, but that was just me.
Whatever label suits your agenda, man. But yeah, it's all good. Interesting anecdotes about smoking up and et cetera. So good
show. You used to be a bit of a toker yourself, weren't you?
Yeah, I did exactly what you were talking about, like when you were at the Zeppelin or Robert Plant paid show, yeah. Whatever. I did exactly that at a REM concert back in the mid 90s.
People smoke pot at REM. I did not know that.
Yes.
What did you use?
We were the only people who were smoking up. I think the we were like right to the right of the stage too, and the seats. And I'm pretty sure everyone could see us. We were just like, we don't fucking care.
was a good show. Did you? You said you did exactly what we did. I mean, did you also use a Gideon Bible page?
No, I rolled a proper joint.
Well, let me. You say proper, but I'm going to tell you right now, this thing smoked the most evenly and consistently. It was the best smoke ever. I mean,
it was blessed by God.
Better than any blunt anybody ever rolled. Better than anything. It was a nice, even, slow burn. No runs. It was top notch, as they say.
Well done, sir.
Well, I thought so, too. But do you share my sentiments, B-Dub? Like, you look back on these things that you did, and you're like, holy
fuck,
I can't believe I did that.
Oh, yeah, I definitely look back on that and just kind of shake my head.
I mean, the number of things I did in those days. And
that was actually one of the tamer things I did in that period.
I really can't believe that I have no arrest record, you know?
Yeah, I don't either. I have no arrest record, and I have a secret clearance with the United States government.
Do you really?
I have no
idea. Not anymore. The show's being recorded, buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy. I'm not your buddy, guy.
I'm using my secret internet identity.
They'll never find me either.
You have an employee named B-Dub who needs to be looked into, sir. There's an underscore, yes. There is an underscore. Yeah. There's just that stuff I look back on. I can't believe that I did some of that stupid shit. I can't believe I've never been arrested. I can't believe that I never died as a result of any of that. I don't know, man. I guess everyone's kind of like that, though, right? I'm not unique in that I look back on these things and just...
Well, I think most people had, like, a wild phase they went through. Although there are some people who have just been perpetually lame their entire life. But, I don't know, man. I'm amazed I'm still here, but I'm glad, obviously.
Well, you are what? You're 57, you said, right? So you're
63.
You're approaching life's end anyway. So it is time to get all pensive and reflective. Okay, B-Dub. Well, it's good to hear from you, and I miss you.
Likewise.
Bullshit. Fuck you. You miss me. You're the one who quit. I miss you, too. Well, I just miss you so much. Anyway, see ya.
Later, B-Dub.
Okay.
I think it's because we did not have Facebook and Twitter and all these things to document the illegal, horrible things we were doing. So it was a lot easier to get away with stuff.
That's very true.
Yeah, I'm so thankful we didn't have Facebook back in the day, because there would be a lot of shit out there about me, you know. Our text would have been great, actually. I mean, think of how easy it would have been to text a girl.
Yeah, but there would be a log of all of that somewhere.
Call up and speak to her father.
Exactly. I mean, when back in the day, if someone brought a camera, they were kind of frowned upon, you know. They were like, what is wrong with you? You bring in a camera? That's so not cool. It's so not cool. Put that shit away. And now it just seems so natural. Everybody wants to take pictures, and then they wonder why was I arrested? I just took a picture of my illegal activity and put it on the internet, on a social network for everyone to see. I don't know why I'm having problems now.
They won't hire me now. I mean, your employers, future employers, look at that shit too.
Did you guys?
They do.
I mean, think of how easy it would have been to make a sex tape with a smartphone. I mean, back in the day, you had to hide these big, lunky video cameras, you know. It was a mess.
There's a red light in the front, so the girls could always see you. Yes. You had to hide that with a piece of...
Had to cut a hole that in bloody, the wall.
That bloody red light got me every time.
Did you guys see that news story with this family who got arrested and had their kid taken away from them? They were filming a... They filmed a video and posted on it on Facebook of them putting a gun in a baby's mouth and telling the baby to say boom.
That's disgusting.
I just really, hearing things about kids kind of gets me. I think one of the things that social media and the bullshit that people tend to post on it has revealed is that there's a lot of fucked up stuff going on that you may not have realized, you know, because if they had done that 20 years ago, none of us would know about it. It would not be a news story, but they probably would still have done it for their own entertainment. But in 2014, 2015, we all know about it because this guy is such a douche that he would post it on Facebook. You do that and then you post it on Facebook. How did we split the atom? Like, this species starts out in the primordial soup. The amino acids come together just so, depending on whatever mechanism for the start of life that you believe in. And we go from that to splitting the atom, but we still have some guy who'll put a gun in his baby's mouth and post it on Facebook. And probably be surprised when he's arrested on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking crazy.
People
man.
Fucking I- suck, man.
I think we were a lot happier not knowing some of this stuff was right. going on.
Yeah. Right.
Because as much as, you know, pot and everything else, there was, you guys probably have heard of this one. This was some time ago. Someone, I think it was a mother, sat her little toddler down with a big giant bong and took a picture. And so it looked like the little kid was taking a big bong rip. And God, it just... I'd rather not know that that's going on. I could live my whole entire life without knowing that a parent would actually do that and think it was okay and then be shocked when they get caught. And
well, Cat Smile says, well, to be fair, less than 1% split the atom. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, I get that. But they were human beings, so they're coming from the same genetic pool. The same genetic pool that enabled the splitting of the atom also places a gun in a baby's mouth. And posts it on Facebook, and then is surprised when the arrest comes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck people. I hate people. I can't say.
Speaking of Facebook, have you noticed that Art Bell has kicked up his posting? He's really ramped up the posting leading into possibly returning in a few months' time.
I loved his dryer on fire. That was great.
He ought to be posting. I don't think so.
I didn't think so either.
No.
He ought to be posting like little blog posts on artbell.com.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, what are you just doing stuff on Facebook for? I mean, for your audience of 5,000 people. Put it all on artbell.com. I mean, that's the portal that people are going to be listening to the show through, supposedly, come July.
Yeah,
so get people used. Yeah, get people used to the muscle memory of typing artbell.com in the address bar. Yeah. I mean,
and look, he can do that and then link it to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, whatever he wants. But
yeah.
He really, I agree with you. artbell.com is his vehicle for his podcast. He should be, he should be using it.
That's why Keith Rowland sucks. I mean, how is this not all being made clear to Art? How is he not being guided in this way? Again,
I don't
Art,
know. How old is Keith?
Old. He's got to be probably 50. Mm. Something like that.
I have no idea. I know that he's in this area, though. I think he lives in Scottsdale or Tempe, Arizona.
Yeah. Well, all the calls that he placed to me came from Arizona. So, yeah. But it seems like there ought to be somebody there guiding this 70-year-old man through the labyrinth that is social media navigation.
Did you guys see that YouTube video where he posted him and Art, Keith and Art did an interview type of style thing where Keith was asking Art questions about why he left and, you know, a couple other things. I didn't get
that. Was that from 2000?
That's
what I was going to ask. That was back. Is that something new?
I remember
it was like
that
2002.
When it happened. Yeah, I remember that when that was actually done. Where were you, Jasmine?
the file, that actual file is in the Megatorrent. There's a file labeled Art, Keith Interviews Art.
Oh, okay.
And that's referring to that one.
Because I saw the YouTube page, it was posted January 2015, so I thought for some reason that it was new content because I'd never seen that before.
Yeah, that's old. I guess maybe it's, I don't know really what the purpose of posting that was. Where was that posted?
I don't know.
He didn't post somewhere. That one.
Okay. Well, I think the show's over. What do you guys think? Started out a little shaky, but I think we carried the bacon across the line.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you guys, it's been fun. I'm glad you were here, all of you. Thank you to B-Dub for calling in. And thanks to everybody in the chat room listening to the show tonight. If you would like to hear a recorded version of this show or past shows or any of the other shows at ufoship.com, you're just going to go to ufoship.com. And they're broken down by category in the menu. You can listen to the fret files. You can listen to the spec sheet. You can listen to... What else is on there? What am I forgetting?
Radio Trainwreck.
I don't even think that's linked in the menu anymore. Yeah, I think that's it. That's it. There's nothing else there for you. You know what? Don't even go. Thank you. So, yeah, go check out ufoship.com. Check out the Fret Files, which is Eric Dawes' guitar workshop podcast. Available to you at ufoship.com. Anything about the physicality of a guitar, that's what he talks about. And it's a very interesting show. Even if you don't know how to play a guitar, you don't know anything about guitars, just his delivery is exactly what it needs to be. So check that out. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time, whenever that happens to be. Have a good night, you guys. See ya.
Night.
Fuck Justin!